All right, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go on the Sports Hub second annual Patriots season Labor Day season preview show.
Working on Labor Day, Barth.
Alex Barth and Matt Dolph taking up until 8 o'clock. We'll take your calls, 617-779-0985. If you have any thoughts on the Patriots. We kind of went through in that first hour there. By the way, if you missed any of this, it'll be posted as a podcast on the Sports Hub Patriots audio page. So you can find that wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's also where they can find us with the Sports Hub Patriots podcast.
We've got the Sports Hub Patriots podcast on there as well. Also, when we have guests on from the team, when David Andrews on with Zoe and Beadle, you'll hear that. You can hear the interviews on pre and post, all of it. Again, wherever you get your podcasts on 98.5thesportshub.com, you can find that as well. So we went through the offense. We went through the defense. Kind of gotten into sort of where we've come so far this summer. Let's get into some bigger picture stuff here.
Our special teams talk?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's coming, Matt. Jake Bailey, can he return to all-pro form this year?
Will Tristan Vizcaino ever be back? Is he the kicker of the future?
No. I'm just gonna
you were so, you were so offended by that one.
Well, because I was trying to remember if he was still, if they kept him on the practice squad or not. They do still have Quinton Ordine. He can't play this year. He's on reserve NFI. They do still have, but if you check out, I wrote on 98.5thesportshub.com some college football players for Patriots fans to watch this year. There is a kicker on that list. I am already predicting kickers in the draft for the Patriots in September. Truly sicko stuff. No, let's go to the complete other extreme. Let's do the cliche stuff here. The Patriots' offensive MVP in 2022 will be
Devontae Parker.
Okay,
I think he's clearly the most athletically gifted of the receivers they have, outside of maybe Tyquan Thornton. But he's obviously completely unproven, and he's going to miss the first several games of the year. So I think Parker is a guy who's had instant rapport with Mac Jones, and we talked about him earlier being the big red zone threat.
Yeah,
I think he's a guy who can just go up and get the ball and win a one-on-one matchup, even against a good corner.
We saw
him roast Stephon Gilmore when he was with the Dolphins. I think he's capable of that type of performance. And he needs to be durable and more consistent, but I think he's going to give them a level of explosiveness that they haven't had in the last few years.
He said at one point during camp, he was asked about his approach to 50-50 balls. He said, with me, it's more like 80-20.
Yeah, I love that.
So, no, they need a guy with that mentality and a guy who can back that mentality up. And I think they might have one. You know, boring pick, Mac Jones for me. If they're good, it's because of Mac Jones. If they're good, it's because of Mac Jones.
It's the number one thing. It overrides every other, supersedes every other.
All right, so let me do it again. Aside from Mac Jones, offensive MVP, I'm actually going to go with another receiver. I'm going to go with Jacoby Myers. I think he's in a position. He caught 85 balls for 866 yards last year, right? He's in a position to be a 100-catch guy, maybe a 1,000-yard guy. I think they're going to feed him a ton. Mm-hmm. He's in a contract year, so it's something he's going to embrace. I think, Mac knows that. Their friends will help him out. I think Jacoby Myers could have a monster year this year. So that's in terms of, the most impressive statistically MVP. If you want to talk about valuable, though, if we want to actually break down, and I know this is people always roll their eyes when you do this. Well, MVP, it's valuable, not best player, right?
There it is. I love that voice.
The Canadian Football League has the most outstanding player. It's a little more straightforward. No, valuable. Let's break down the word value, that whole thing. The player perhaps with the most value to this offense, the guy they can't afford to lose aside from Mac Jones, might be David Andrews. They have four new starters on the offensive line, or four guys starting in new positions.
The exception being him.
The exception being him. He's a key communicator up front, him and Mac Jones, picking that all up pre-snap. Playing next to Cole Strange, you're going to have to help him out. You just nature of having a rookie up there. David Andrews is monumentally important to the success of this team this year.
Yeah, I mean, if they lose him, it's what, they're back to James Ferentz? He's back on the practice squad.
James Ferentz or Cody Russey, probably.
Yeah, I mean.
And then we really second-guess them letting Ted Karras go, which I think is already. He got named a captain in Cincinnati.
Yeah, that was a great signing by them, I thought. But, David Andrews is definitely going to be very important to the whole operation, and just because of the leadership and the communication and all that. And I sense that, we saw how he was very, very frustrated in the middle of camp when, we saw after one practice he had a sort of players only thing on the field and screaming about how frustrated. You could just see the frustration. It was visible. But that to me says that he feels good about himself. He knows where he is and he knows what this offense is capable of. And so I think having him around is going to really go a long way toward the offensive line sort of gelling. He's going to be key to that whole thing. And so, if they lose him, it's going to be very tough.
he's essentially another offensive line coach. And I know we saw him literally do that in one of the preseason games, but he kind of needs to embrace that role. And that, you know, even if they still had a dedicated offensive line coach, I'd say that. But with Mitch, Matt Patricia, some Mitchell Trubisky's name pop up on my computer, with Matt Patricia kind of wearing a lot of hats like you talked about, I think some of that is ultimately, for better or worse, going to fall on David Andrews. So he is, you want to talk about the value part of most valuable player for me on offense, if we're going to put Mac Jones aside. I kind of like that, though. Let's split that again for the defense. We'll borrow from the Canadian Football League. They have their big day today. Labor Day is like to the Canadian Football League what Thanksgiving's like to the NFL. They have all their big rivalry games today. Give me your MVP for the Patriots defense this year and your MOP, most outstanding player, for the Patriots defense this year.
Wow. I mean, I feel like Christian Barmore might be the answer to both.
Okay.
I mean, he's got to be the most outstanding player on the defense, because we were talking about it before. We were talking about it earlier tonight on this very program, that, like, you have that dominating presence right up front, right in the quarterback's face on the interior. Even if you have to devote, you know, two or three defenders to him, like, that alone will open things up for the other guys. And if not, he's going to be the one doing the overpowering up front. And, like, I think he's going to take a huge step forward. I think, like, just the fact that he's getting more looks in the run is a good sign that they just want him to be out there, because they know that he can make an impact that nobody else on that front seven can make. And so I think he's the obvious choice to be the most outstanding player. The most valuable one is an interesting one, because, I mean, Jonathan Jones is a guy we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
If he can put together one of his best seasons and, you know, start to make more plays on the outside, if he can – he's held his own against Tyreek Hill in the past.
He's been like very sort of, good against Tyreek Hill in the past,
like,
yeah.
You got to think, like, compared to pretty much everyone that's ever defended Tyreek Hill, Jonathan Jones has to be up there as far as doing a decent job.
There's always those random matchups. Like, remember Malcolm Butler used to own Antonio Brown?
That's true, yeah. He would be competitive anyway, yeah.
Tavon Best, who played for the Dolphins years back, used to own Asante Samuel. There's always, like, weird matchups like that. I feel like Jonathan Jones is just something – he kind of knows Tyreek Hill a little bit.
My favorite was Aqib Talib shutting down Jimmy Graham that one game.
That was a fun game. And then he went back to the bench. That's the
yeah, that was my favorite, right? Out-of-nowhere matchup that went so well. But, but he's a guy that they might have to play him on the inside and the outside. And they might have to move him around based on where a guy like Tyreek Hill is lining up. And he's you know, the longest tenured guy in the cornerback room. And so he's going to do a lot of different things for them, and like they need to count on him for having speed and explosiveness and all that, but he's going to be tasked with covering some really good receivers sometimes on the outside. So I think if he can put together one of his best years, he could be very valuable.
So I'm going to go most outstanding player. I'm going to go Matthew Judon. I think he gets back into form. Look, if he is the full – last year he was on pace to break the single-season single-season sack record for the Belichick era. He ended up tying it. He had it tied with four games to go.
Zero in his last four games, right? He just completely fell off the map.
If he follows through, if he plays a full season, as good as I think Christian Barmore will be, I think teams will, when they pick their poison, I think they'll pick Judon, right? Easier to double Barmore on the interior, all of that. I think Judon...
most teams will trust their left tackle.
Right. You know, I think Judon ends up most outstanding player, most valuable. I'm going to go same position as you, but I'm going to change player. Jalen Mills. Jonathan Jones, yeah, if he's good, that could be big. Jalen Mills has to be good.
Yeah.
Because if Jonathan Jones doesn't work out, yeah, he's a slot corner. Kind of makes sense. And you have Terrence Mitchell on the practice squad. You have Jack Jones behind him as a number two outside corner. Jalen Mills doesn't have a good year. They're in huge trouble. They are in really big trouble in that secondary. So in terms of most valuable player in that defense, the guy they can't afford to lose, to me, Jalen Mills. If he can play up to the level he played up to in camp, and I'm not going to fault the guy for getting beat by Devontae Adams. Might be the best receiver in football. All you learn, if you came away from that, like my takeaway from that was, all right, so Jalen Mills isn't the best corner in the NFL. You shouldn't have needed that to know that.
I can't believe he's getting burned by Devontae Adams. So he only does that to everybody.
Right, exactly.
And he made a play against him. There was a video that started.
He made
circulating.
A play against him. Yeah. They need Jalen Mills to have a big year. Breakout candidate. Who's the guy that we're not talking about a lot tonight, isn't getting talked a lot about within the circles of people who talk about the team, that at the end of the year we're going to be like, man, we didn't give that guy enough credit to start the season. We weren't talking about that guy enough to start the season.
Well, I mean, breakout might be a little strong, but my pick for that is Anthony Jennings, outside linebacker. He looks like he's going to be the guy lining up opposite.
So we can call it under the radar player, too, if you want to phrase it
under the radar, yeah, like sort of dark horse type of thing.
Sure.
Like, this is a position where we didn't know. There was all this uncertainty going into the season and all this roster turnover, going young, going with, like, sort of unproven guys. Like, is Cameron McGrone going to make an impact? Like, talk about guys like that. And here comes Anthony Jennings emerging out of nowhere in his third year. And this sort of is a thing where, like, I think at that position, especially even here, Belichick might just like being patient with guys like that. He likes to build them up year over year. And, like, it's really more of a year three jump than a year two jump. I think we saw that with Dante Hightower back in the day. And I think we could see it. We could see it with Josh Uche, who does seem like he's going to settle in as more of a pass rushing specialist. But Jennings, to me, is the guy that could play three downs. He could, he could give you a little bit. As a pass rusher, he can make, you know, especially if Barmore and Judon are getting, you know, drawing attention and opening things up for him, he can make a play here and there for you as a pass rusher, but he's also going to set an edge. He can set an edge as an outside linebacker. I think he could be, you know, a more explosive, I don't know, explosive, but like a faster, you know, younger, you know, more explosive version of what Kyle Van Noy was, which is, I don't think Kyle Van Noy was the same player last year, and I think that's fair to say. And I think Anthony Jennings emerging out of nowhere in year three could make a big difference for them.
So what I love about Jennings and what I loved about him in the draft for the Patriots, I really liked him coming out. I was really glad the Patriots took him. When you talk about what he does in the passing game, I don't know that his impact, and I agree, I think he's a three-down player, but he's not as much of a pass rusher as what he's so good at is, he's got big guy, got long arms, is getting in those passing lanes and knocking balls down. That Alabama defense 2019, his last year there, loaded in the secondary, multiple first-round picks. Anthony Jennings led that team in pass deflections because he was just knocking balls down left and right. And when you look at what killed the Patriots last year and Miami, like right away, we're going to see this. Those quick slants, the RPOs, they had so much trouble with that. Anthony Jennings, I mean, it's only on one side, but Anthony Jennings is the guy you put in there, right? Big guy, two is not that tall, who's going to get his hands up and kind of knock down some of those quick passes. He was great at that in college. If he can give them some of that, like that to me is where his impact is in the passing game. He might get a sack here or there. He can get to the quarterback. But you got Matt Judon. You got Christian Barmore. Those guys will be your – those are two great pass rushers. You don't need Jennings to be a 10-sack guy.
No.
But if he can be like a 3 or 4 sack guy and then knock down 5 or 6 balls.
Give me 5 or 6.
All right. We'll call it 5 or 6. If he can be a 5 or 6.
Sack once a month.
Okay. If he can be a – I like that. If he can be a once-a-month sack guy – but he can knock down 7 or 8 balls at the line of scrimmage.
Oh,
there you go.
I mean, Kyle Van Noy was good at that.
Kyle Van Noy.
They
had 11
their outside linebackers to do this.
Kyle Van Noy
used to do this for them. You know, they like their guys on the edge making plays like that.
Kyle Van Noy had 11 pass deflections last year.
Yeah,
he had like seven games in a row.
In 2019, he had a lot too. When the defense was dominant up front.
So that's what I like about Jennings. My surprise guy, though, Raekwon McMillan. I've been high on this guy since they signed him last year. You wanted to get faster. You wanted to get more athletic at linebacker. You wanted to get younger. Here's your answer. Really good against the run. Can get after the quarterback and cover a little bit. He, to me, is the guy that Patriots fans are asking for. He's got to stay healthy. That's been the question his whole career. He wasn't, you know, they didn't get him for the cheap because of a lack of talent. He's torn his ACL now twice. He's had some other issues. If he can stay on the field, he's going to be good to go, though. He can play. Give me a name on offense that maybe we're not talking about enough.
Oh, man. Really put me on the spot here, Barth. Yeah. Nelson Agholor had a great camp.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to say him because it's sort of obvious. Jonnu Smith had a really good
camp. I like that one.
He has nowhere to go but up. They get just a little bit out of Jonnu Smith. I think Josh McDaniels sort of didn't even really know what to do with him. And Bill sort of knows. Seems like he knows what to do with Jonnu Smith more. We're going to see more two tight end sets. We're going to see more things like that. And I think they're going to get the ball in his hands and he's going to make some plays for them.
I'm going to go Ty Montgomery. This one might take a while to come to fruition.
Right.
It sounds like he's not going to play week one. But
that would have been a good pick if he stayed healthy.
I think like if he misses week one, he's back week two, and he has a good season, nobody's going to remember he missed week one.
Right.
Or they'll lose. They'll have needed that game, and everybody will be like, if only Ty Montgomery had been healthy week one.
No, they needed that game last year.
That you're not wrong, and that fumble. I like Ty Montgomery this year. Let's, you know, we're previewing the Patriots season, but of course the Patriots season is about more than just the Patriots, right? We know what this team's going to be, what they're going to look like, but it's not just them in the running. Who are they stacking up against? Where do they rank in the division, the AFC, their schedule, who they got to play, all that? We'll do that next. It's the Patriots season preview on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Patriots Preview with Alex Barth and Matt Doloff on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah, you ready to hear this one sung at Fenway? At Gillette? Wow. I gotta stop reading my Twitter timeline while I'm trying to talk.
So leaning out the booth.
You ready to hear this one at Gillette?
Or he does that with Josie, right? We'll probably do it.
I think he does
it
with all of them. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to see Gillette Stadium full again. See all of you down there.
What's the one from the 2014 divisional? Was that Josie?
That's Josie. Okay.
That's the all-timer.
So this is like kind of a weird take I have about that. To me, that moment is in a way the peak of the Patriots dynasty. Obviously, them winning the sixth Super Bowl is like the true peak, right?
But looking back.
Like, when you look back, and I know they had only won three and they hadn't won in 10 years. But what the Patriots dynasty was about to me at its best moments, there were times where it was just like, you just knew, right? Gillette was, it was a party. It was, the Patriots were at home. They were taking care of business. The crowd, like, just go back and watch that moment. It's total chaos with the fans. Bill's screaming at the defense. Tom Brady's calm as possible, throwing the ball on the side. It's just like the mood of that moment is like what the Patriots dynasty was to me.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to top.
Yeah. Anyway, we're on to 2022, though. Taking a look at the Patriots in 2022. It's the annual Labor Day season preview with Alex Barth and Matt Doloff. Matt Stenberg back behind the glass. And I said this going into the break. You know, we've talked a lot about the Patriots, but even the Patriots season is not just about the Patriots. They have to play other teams. They have to finish with a better record than other teams, et cetera, et cetera.
Whoa. They got to play other teams.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to start with the schedule, or do you want to start with the big picture? Where do they stand?
We'll start with the big picture, and then we can get into the nitty-gritty.
In the AFC East, how do you rank the AFC East?
Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets.
Yes. Are they closer to so this is something that's been interesting to me. I think Patriots-Dolphins is a legitimate conversation. I think they're both teams with good rosters with question marks.
Oh, so you think the Dolphins aren't just going to beat the Patriots every time for the rest of time?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. I forgot the Dolphins are the new 07 Patriots. They're actually impossible to defend. McDaniel's already a better coach than Bill Belichick.
No, you know what they always say about the Dolphins, Barth. As long as they have Tua and Mike McDaniel, they can beat anybody
in
the league.
That's true. I forgot about that. So I actually really like the Dolphins roster. I like what they've done. I like what the front office has done. You talk about, and we sort of talked about this earlier in the show with Mac, right? Tailoring an offense around your quarterback. Mm-hmm. Boy, have they done a perfect job of that with Tua.
Have they? You got to enlighten me on this. I'm not denying it, but I don't know.
Tua, when he was at Alabama, was like this dynamic deep ball throw, and it was great. And then he hurt his hip, and he can't throw the ball with the same oomph anymore. He's still deadly accurate in the short game. So what'd they do? They went out and got two of the best yard after catch guys, or they drafted a great yard after catch guy and then traded for the best yard after catch guy in the league. And by the way, as far as tight ends go, Mike Gesicki's pretty fast. So Tua can just kind of drop back, 5 yard slants, drags, things like that, and let those guys create. Love that. The question is that what they're going to do? Because Mike McDaniel, to me, is an unknown. There's been some times this summer, not major things, but there's a lot of guys in this league who are good coordinators who just aren't head coaches, and that's just the reality of it. And a lot of them come from that tree, that Sean McVay, Kyle Shanahan coaching tree.
It's like the whole league now, it feels.
Yeah. Mike McDaniel, there's been a couple times he's looked like he might be in over his head a little bit over the summer. I'm not saying that means he's going to be a bad coach, but I think people are really putting the cart before the horse with him.
Right. I don't know that he's going to be a bad coach. I just think the offseason crowning of this guy has just been baffling to me. It's like,
it's too much.
This notion that the Patriots are just never going to, they're never going to beat the Dolphins again. There's no chance of them beating the Dolphins. Like, I get that Week 1 in Miami is always a tough matchup.
Yeah.
They sometimes don't even play well there. So who knows what's going to happen? But, like, why are we acting like this Mike McDaniel is going to turn this franchise? It's the Miami Dolphins. What have they done
last
20 years?
They have won 7 of their last 9 in Miami against the Patriots.
And that's why they should be the favorites in this game. I'm saying, why are people giving the Patriots no chance? And why are we acting like Miami is, like, I know they got Tyreek Hill, who's still, I think, an excellent receiver.
He's still
impossible to cover. And so he's going to make some plays with Tua throwing in the ball. I know it's a big downgrade for him for who's throwing in the ball, but he's going to make some plays. But why is that one move translating to the Patriots have no chance? You know, they just fell way behind the Dolphins. And like you were talking about, you were just talking about all these things that they can do with all these players at their disposal. They made it great for Tua. That's all assuming that Mike McDaniel has his football operation under control and he knows what he needs to do out there when the bullets are flying, when the clock's running.
Because that's where this tree has struggled.
Right. When he needs to manage a game, when he needs to take his manage his timeouts right, when he needs to make the right decisions at the end of games, like that's the great unknown. Maybe he'll be great at it.
Can he get his head out of the play sheet? It's what Shanahan hasn't been able to do. It's what LaFleur struggled with. Even McVay. McVay had to get a generational roster to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. And I think I don't know if they said this about McDaniel, but like he strikes me as a guy where everyone says, well, you know, he's a player's coach. A player's coach to me is like a euphemism for a guy who doesn't know how to win games. He's good for players. Players love him. But is he going to win you a lot of games? I don't know. That's sort of how I look at it.
Well, it's like
McDaniel, the players love him. He's a nice guy. He's receptive to the does he know what to do? Does he know what he has to do to win games? Like we don't know. I want to see it with the guy before we crown the Dolphins. Is all I'm saying.
That's fair. It's a winning fixes everything thing, but when it's a little more enjoyable of an environment, you maybe have a little longer leash. That's what that is to me. Right.
Right.
The Seahawks after Super Bowl 49 probably took a year or two more to fall apart than they should have because Pete Carroll let guys text during meetings, according to Cassius Marsh or whatever. Do you think
and it was great according to Cash.
Do you think Miami, and by Miami I mean like the location. Do you think Miami is in the Patriots' heads though? They're going down early this week?
It's in Bill's head, I think. He's flying them down there like almost a week early.
They don't always do they've done stuff like this before. We know when they have the back to back West Coast games, they'll go out and they'll stay out there. The one I compare it to is I forget if it was 16 or 17. They played the Broncos and then they played the Raiders in Mexico City. So it was another elevation game, and they stayed at the Air Force Academy.
Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
But that was again two like trips. You know, it does feel like it's in their head.
I think
that's
Bill just overthinking it, getting cute, however you want to describe it. I don't think that's going to have much bearing on the game. Like maybe they'll be gassed at the end of the game, and it comes up and says, "Oh, they couldn't handle the humidity in Miami." Like that's the only way I could see that coming up. But like I just don't think it's absolutely necessary.
Bryant, that they
brave the elements like that, like go out a week early. I just feel like he's overthinking it.
Bryant went down there and almost beat FIU. So one more thing on the division.
Might as well be speaking gibberish with that one.
There have been that's a deep cut. There have been people who have said, well, Patriots or the Jets. I talked at the beginning of the show, at the very beginning of the show, I opened it by talking about checking that box, right? With the quarterback, do you have the guy who you at least think you can win with? Well, if you checked in at Jets camp before Zach Wilson got hurt, he was getting outplayed by Joe Flacco. And when I say Joe Flacco, I mean what's left of Joe Flacco.
The corpse of Joe Flacco.
Could you imagine, and this I was talking to my brother about this over the weekend, and this is the comp we came up with. Because Joe Flacco had his flashes, but he was never really like a good NFL quarterback, right? That's like the equivalent if the Patriots brought in Eli Manning, and Eli Manning started outplaying Mac Jones in camp. Could you imagine?
God, that would be horrifying.
So don't tell me the Jets are in some sort of great position. I know Zach Wilson's hurt, so yeah, maybe he would have bounced back later in camp. But the last time we saw Zach Wilson, he was getting outplayed by Joe Flacco, 37, 38, whatever Joe Flacco.
He has
a knee injury.
Yeah, don't believe the Jets can win a game.
You
want
to talk about Patriots-Dolphins, we can talk about Patriots-Dolphins. That's a fair conversation. I think they're very comparable teams. I'm not talking about Patriots-Jets. Where do you put the Patriots in the standings in the AFC? Where do you all right, so they're not winning the division. Are they a top five team in the AFC, top seven, top 10? Where do you have them?
Top 10, I think, is fair.
All right, well, top 10, I would hope. It's out of 16.
Yeah, okay. But I think if you say, like, they're in the mix. They're in the mix for a playoff spot, wild card spot, that sort of thing. Like, the way I've seen it throughout is that the Bills are in a different class from pretty much everyone else. And I think you could still put the Chiefs there just because of Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. And
they made some really good moves, under-the-radar moves.
Yeah, and that was the same thing as with Brady and Belichick for so many years. As long as they have Brady and Belichick, that they're going to be in the mix at the very top of the conference. And I feel like that's where the Chiefs are going to be as long as they have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Andy Reid. I think they're going to be fine. They might not win that division because that division is going to be so good, but they're in that top-tier Super Bowl mix just because of the pedigree. And then I think after that, I mean, you could maybe put the Chargers at the top of the next tier, but there's a big group, I think, there from about 3 to 10.
So you
like,
put
everyone's
Patriots,
sort of in the same
You put them group. In the same group as, like, the Bengals. defending conference
champion. Bengals, I mean, they obviously have a great young quarterback. I love Joe Burrow. And they have the deepest, probably the deepest group of weapons in the conference. And they improved their offensive line, which was sort of their fatal flaw last year. So I think the Bengals are still going to be good. But do they have a hangover? Is Joe Burrow going to be affected by losing the Super Bowl so early in his career, the first time he gets there?
He also had the appendix thing in camp.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
Lost
that was
some
this
weight.
Year. Is it Zach Taylor, the name of the Bengals coach? Like,
yeah.
He seems like a solid coach, but, like, I don't know. Are they going to be able to sustain it from going to the Super Bowl last year to being right back at the top of the conference next year? I'm just not totally convinced of that. Broncos, I might be getting out on Russell Wilson a year early rather than a year late. Like, he might have one more good year in him, but I don't know if that was a good signing by them to sign him through age 40.
A bit much. I'll say this about the Broncos. Last 2 years, right? Brady, new team, Super Bowl. Stafford, new team, Super Bowl. Broncos would kind of be a logical link in that chain, right?
I suppose, but again, Nathaniel Hackett, first-year head coach.
I like their roster, though. I do. They've got really good receivers. It hurts losing Tim Patrick, but they got really good receivers. They got a solid offensive line. That was a top-five defense in football last year. I think that kind of flew under the radar.
You always tell me that. It did. It flew under
my
radar.
Really good secondary. So my tiers are the Bills, Chiefs, and Broncos in the top tier. The next tier is the Raiders, the Bengals, and then, assuming Lamar Jackson is healthy, the Ravens. And then so that's six teams. The next tier for me is the Patriots. It's the Patriots. It's the Chargers. And it's really the Patriots and the Chargers.
I think any of these teams we just mentioned could win 10 or 11 games.
I think that's all fair.
And then, like, obviously, you know, a couple of them will probably push to 12, 13 wins. But, like, I think any one of those teams could finish with 10, 11 wins. And, like, the Patriots' schedule is tougher than it was last year. So it could be a matter where the Patriots play better overall, especially late in the season. But they still win about 10 games. You know, they stay at 10 wins, but they have a tougher schedule. So it might look a little better, but the road's a lot tougher this year, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about that Patriots schedule. Let's get into the schedule. And it is a season preview, but we did a little bit there, but I want to talk about the Miami game. Let's do that on the other side here. After these headlines, it's Alex Barth and Matt Dolloff, the annual Patriots Labor Day season preview on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Chills. Every time I hear that opening note.
And then there was a great flood.
If you're
engulfed Gillette Stadium in blood red waters.
If you're unfamiliar with what this is, O Fortuna, or O Fortuna, I don't know. But this is the song they play before the Patriots come out of the tunnel. They fade this in a crazy train. This song gets me so hyped. It gets me so
excited.
It's
the ultimate hype song.
It really is.
Seriously, there's no more epic song than this. This song was written like 600 years ago, and there's still no more epic song than this, I think.
And, I mean, especially for like a football game, you see those guys standing in the tunnel. I remember
This is where you need, like, what's his name? Oh, it was the dude, he did the old video, the NFL films.
Oh, John Facenda.
Yeah.
No, the best one's like
taking the field of battle.
Brady's first game back from the suspension, and they played it at Gillette, and, like, on the first note, like, they open the door and Brady, like, rolls back with the door. And it's so good. Anyway, it sucks. We got to wait 3 weeks to hear it because the Patriots, and look, just not playing your home opener until week three. Is that unfortunate? Yes. They opened at home for like the last 6 years. They had like an unprecedented stretch of opening at home. So, you know, they were due.
You take a year off.
They were, well,
no more Tom, you know,
could have been.
So the one thing from the post-Brady era.
Could have been one game on the road. Didn't have to be two. But it is two. But let's talk about the schedule here. And I think I have a more big-picture take on the schedule. You have a more nuanced take. So I'll start. The way I look at the schedule is it's broken down into three blocks. There's the first four games, the middle six, and then the last seven. First four, Miami, Pittsburgh, at Miami, at Pittsburgh, home versus Baltimore at Green Bay. Those are tough games. Not all impossible. They're tough games. I know Zoe's been on here saying they have to start 0-2. It's possible they start 0-2. Or yes, geez. It's getting late here. Zoe's been on here saying they have to start 2-0. It's possible they start 2-0. Pittsburgh should be a win. Pittsburgh, they just named Mitchell Trubisky to start. I didn't know this. Mitchell Trubisky's the only, I got to find the status. I'm like, he's the only quarterback with 50-plus pass attempts in the modern era to not throw a pick six. Cue him throwing a pick six on the first pass of the year.
Possible?
Here it is. Since the NFL moved to a 16-game schedule in 1978, Trubisky's the only quarterback with 50-plus career starts and no pick sixes.
Oh, 50 plus? Okay.
Knock, knock, Jalen Mills. Just somebody let Jalen Mills
He's
know
not
that.
Throwing it in the area of a cornerback. They're not even able to
intercept. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, first four games, at Miami, at Pittsburgh, home versus Baltimore, at Green Bay. Three of those four, real tough. Pittsburgh, I mean, we'll see, it's a road game, but that's, I think if they can come out of there 2-2, you're feeling pretty good.
Why would the Ravens be a guaranteed loss? That's at home. They beat the Ravens 2 years ago with Cam Newton.
It's a tough game. If Lamar's healthy, they're a tough team. It's a tough game. The rain played a factor in that one. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed loss.
It's not the Ravens from the past that used to come in here and always give Brady trouble. It's just not the same.
It's a tough game.
Patriots aren't the same, but neither are the Ravens.
It's a tough game. They're a good team. I'm not saying it's a guaranteed loss, but that's, and here's why I put it in that group, because when I go through this next group, you'll understand. This is weeks, I think the bye's in here somewhere, but it's the next seven games after that, or the next six games after that. Home against the Lions, at the Browns without Deshaun Watson, home against the Bears, at the Jets, home against the Colts, home against the Jets.
They got to clean up there.
You got to go 5-1.
Yeah.
You got to go 5-1 through that stretch. Right. I'm saying at a minimum.
One. The Colts are another one where I think people just have recency bias. Where it's like, oh, so now Matt Ryan is going to – it's at home against the Colts?
It's at home against Colts.
Matt Ryan is going to come into Gillette Stadium and dominate the Patriots. This is what we're saying?
And I think Matt Ryan's cooked. The only thing is that's the game before the bye. So maybe it's a little trap gamey, but, I mean, the Lions, Deshaun Watson, no Browns – or no Deshaun Watson Browns. Bears, the N'Keal Harry revenge game if he's healthy. Forget last year, Tampa week 4. Give me Chicago week 7, Monday Night Football, N'Keal Harry back in Foxborough.
This is sort of where my take on the schedule comes in, though, Barth.
Right, so I want to get to that. But Jets twice, Colts 5-1 through that stretch. Now, here's where it gets tricky. At Minnesota Thanksgiving, that's a short week. Home against the Bills on a Thursday night. Short week at Arizona. And look, Arizona sucks late in the year. Cliff Kingsbury sucks late in the year. But there's talent there. You can't deny it. At the Raiders. Tough game, good team. Home against the Bengals, defending AFC champion. Home against Miami, close the season at the Bills. You can't go into that stretch needing to flip games. You need to go into that stretch relatively comfortable. For a team that in the last 3 years has struggled to win games late in the season, that is a tough stretch to close out the year, seven games. If they can go, so here's how I see it.
So if they start 2-2 and then go 5-1 in the next stretch, that's right. 7-3. That's
7-3.
Really,
and then if they can go 4-3 in those last seven, you're at 11 wins all of a sudden. And some of that's better. I don't want to say it's best case scenario. It's optimistic, but I don't think it's wildly unrealistic either.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably best case scenario. That's probably a fair way to put it. But this is right. This is my problem. This is my whole take on the schedule part. This is that these people calling in to our station and say, like, I could be surprised if they win 5 games. They're going to win 6 games. It's like, so they're going to beat the Lions, the Bears, the Browns, the Jets twice, and lose every other game? Like, that is just so unrealistic. And what I learned, I think this is what we learned from the Panthers, is that they're still going to beat up on bad teams. They are still, even with the problems they've had with the coaching offensively in the summer, they are still a better coached team than a team like the Carolina Panthers.
Like when they hung 50 on Jacksonville last year.
Right. They have more talent and are better coached than the Browns, the Bears, the Lions, and the Jets. So they should go 5-0 in those games. I think any of those games being a loss would be a letdown for this team. So this is what I think. I think they're still going to beat up on bad teams, and that's why they're going to be solidly in the mix in the AFC. And it's going to be it's obviously going to be those bigger games against the contenders in the AFC that are going to be more important. And I mean, I don't know. The Raiders to me is a loss because the former Belichick assistants always do well. And I am high on Josh McDaniels, and I think they're going to score a lot of points. So I mean,
that's another short week game we talked about in the last segment, like, you know, staying on the road for practice. They're playing Arizona on Monday night.
Right, I was going to say they go from Monday to Sunday.
I don't know if they'll stay in Arizona, if they'll stay in Vegas, if they'll go to California. Maybe they'll go back to UCLA where they were last year, whatever, or 2 years ago, whenever it was. Like that Raiders game, that's a tough game. But all right, so 7 wins, or let's get them to 9 wins, right, to finish over 500. Let's say they go 5-1 on that stretch because again, Lions, Browns, Bears, Jets, Colts, Jets.
Right. So they have to clean up on that.
You got to find 3 wins between the Dolphins twice, the Bills twice, the Steelers, the Ravens, the Packers, the Vikings, the Cardinals, the Raiders, and the Bengals.
Three wins out of all those?
You got to find three wins in there.
All right, they'll beat the Steelers. They'll beat Miami at home. And that's, I guess that's where it gets tough.
You know what, the Vikings aren't like a great team. It's just they're going there on Thanksgiving.
And that's another Kevin O'Connell, is he their head coach?
Yeah.
So he's an unproven guy. Coach. Another unproven head coach.
They also, I mean,
and that's a game where I feel like they'll just take away, they'll do all they can to take away Justin Jefferson, and then what the hell is Kirk Cousins going to do? You know, and it's a total wild card because it's Thanksgiving, but you know, I just don't see that looking at the schedule, which I know is tough, and it's like, but it's sort of like a, you know, it's sort of like a hit or miss schedule. Every opponent is either like a top contender or bottom of the league. I don't know, maybe that's a statement on the whole league. But I just think there are enough gimmies in here where I think they're still going to outclass the bad teams in the middle of that schedule. And they're going to have enough good weeks. And these teams aren't going to be perfect. These other teams are going to have problems. This is I think where we sort of live in a bubble. Like, you know, fans, listeners, us, whatever. I think we sort of live in a bubble where, like, we see the Patriots' problems and we assume that everyone else has no problems. Like, teams are going to have problems. Teams are going to have health issues. I know the Patriots are going to have their share of that too, but I just think there's enough on the schedule for them to win games, to keep themselves in the mix. You know, I just don't think it's too out of line to say that the Patriots are going to be in the mix for 9, 10, maybe 11 wins in a playoff spot. I just don't think that's crazy.
And I'll give you the one more game to get to 9 too. Arizona late in the season. Cliff Kingsbury, if you go back to his time at Texas Tech, can't win after Thanksgiving.
With people saying they can't beat the Cardinals. Like, come on. What are we doing here? Do people think Bill's going to let it get that bad? Like, I guess if your take is Bill Belichick has fallen off the cliff and he's going to, you know, he's completely fallen behind the rest of the league, then that's a fair take to have. But if you don't believe that, if you think Bill's still a good coach, well, guess what, guys? They have a pretty good roster this year, so they're gonna win some games.
By the way, here this is through I think like week 15 last year. So there's two games that's not on here. Cliff Kingsbury's a head coach going back to his time in the college ranks. Games 1 through 7 of the season, first 7 games of the season, he's 42-20-1, 22 games over 500. Cliff Kingsbury week 8 on. 16-43.
Jeez. But that's all with Kyler Murray?
That's with Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech.
Oh, you're talking college.
This is
too.
Going all the way back to 2013.
Jeez.
It's a trend. Going back to, yeah. I'm
I was going
to
say, is that
too
a
worried about
Kyler
the Cardinals
Murray
late year.
Him not doing his homework.
I mean, that's part of it. That's certainly, most definitely part of it. But again, it's still a tough game. I go back to those three blocks. Those three blocks. That's how I look at it. Can you go 2-2, then 5-1, then 4-3?
Okay,
that's
so here's
the path.
Here's my prediction. They'll be over 500 when they get to that last stretch.
I would hope so.
Can they be at the point where they are the Patriots that we've been used to seeing before the last 2 or 3 years, where they're getting better at the end of the season, where they're playing their best football in December? We've seen the opposite from this team, and so that's why I think it's fair to be concerned that they could fizzle down the stretch again, and that could be what dooms them in the end here. Especially with a tough stretch of opponents, Buffalo twice, the Raiders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be key for them to finally, you know, actually start playing their best football down the stretch of the season. But I can't rule that out because it's been sort of like every year has been sort of different the last 2 or 3 years. Obviously, 2019 was Brady's last year and that whole thing, whatever was going on behind the scenes, Brady not happy, 1 foot out the door. And then 2020 is a total reset where they had one of the league's worst rosters. They bring in Cam Newton. And they stick to him the whole season, which that, like, I thought Belichick was crazy sticking with Cam Newton that entire season. But it is what it is. And now, then last year, they bring in Mac Jones. They name him the starter. They've had this different starting quarterback the last 3 years in a row. And there's been so much roster turnover that I just don't think you could say it's, like, officially this is what they are now that they're going to fizzle down the stretch every year. I want to see how they look with especially the guys that are here year two. And the guys that have been around for a while, can they gel late in the season better than what we've seen the last few years? It's going to make a huge difference because I think they're going to be over 500 going into that last stretch.
All right, real quick, I missed you on the phone earlier. Sorry, Dale in Florida. Dale, what do you got?
I think I agree with Atolia. I was looking at the season. It's going to start tough. It's going to end tough. I look at them going 2-2 and 5-1, and I think the last 7 games they're going to go 4-3. But one thing I just want to say, they should have never got rid of Shaq Mason last year. That was wrong.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That was this year, though, right?
This year, yeah, last offseason.
Okay, but I was going to say, the last 3 years, like, have all blended together for me.
So that's what it is. That's the 2022 Patriots season.
2-2, 5-1, 4-3.
Start strong, end strong. Start strong, end strong, take care of business. That's the 2022 Patriots season to me.
They're not going to suck, Barth.
They're not going to. We will be talking football into December. Going into that first Bills game on December 1st. This team will still be in it. I will tell you that. I said that last year. They played the Bills twice late. That first Bills game would matter, and it did. They both did. I'm going to tell you the same thing again this year. December 1st, Patriots will be right in the mix. I don't know if they'll be the favorite, but they won't be out of it. They'll be right in the mix.
I mean, that's all you can ask for as a fan, really.
All right, a huge thank you to everybody for tuning into this. Again, the second annual Sports Hub Labor Day Patriots season preview. Matthew Stenberg back behind the glass. For Matt Dolliff, I'm Alex Barth. If you missed any of the show, you can check it out in the Patriots Audio podcast feed on 98.5thesportshub.com. That's also where you can find our work. Enjoy the week, everybody. Football season is back. Let's all have a fun fall. How about that? All right, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time.